This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the first Sky Blues Extra podcast of the new championship season, currently sponsored by Shortland Horne, Coventry's leading estate agents. It's Dean here to guide you through this opening episode, alongside the two likely lads of Andy and Dave. Good evening, chaps.
Evening, mate.
Right, let's get straight into it, chaps. Obviously, an amazing result and obviously a homecoming for the Sky Blues as well. I don't know about how you guys felt, but it just felt like a real special occasion. I've still got a few goosebumps now thinking about it, but it was a brilliant day back at the CBS. Andy, you still buzzing about it?
Yeah, absolutely, Dino. It was the perfect day, wasn't it, in the end, after a bit of a shaky first half. But yeah. The whole thing coming back to the stadium, the way we turned it around, the atmosphere from, 70 minutes onwards to how we pushed the team forward, just magical, mate, and a special day that we can remember for a long, long time.
Absolutely. Dave, are you of the same thinking?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, firstly, obviously, it could have been a lot worse with the chap that was taken ill, but it's great to hear that the club came out and said that he's recovering. And, you know, our thoughts are with him, and I'm sure everyone shares them sentiments. But just what a fantastic day from start to finish. We got in early down at the Sky Blue Tavern, which was just a fantastic space, really, for Coventry fans, straight off the train. Brilliant space. It's been really well kitted out, and the food was brilliant. The booths with the TV screens in for early kickoffs are going to be superb. So a fantastic day, and obviously really well capped off. Capped off by sitting on the floor eating Happy Shopper cheese and chive crisps, which was after Tom had a smash and grab of the Bridge Wine Store's savoury section just on Fosil Road. But it really brought it home to you that football was back, and those journeys of, sitting on the footwells of trains was just, a great, great moment. And yeah, it was fantastic, especially for myself, who've missed some of the fixtures in the past, things like United away, when Miffs had scored them amazing goals. Yeah, so it was nice to be a part of that one yesterday.
A lot of people have commented on the match day experience being a lot better.
Yeah.
It felt like it, didn't it? Like, you obviously mentioned the tavern there, but you got the brewery as well. The anecdote, obviously, to choose from. So it just feels like more of an occasion now rather than just going to watch a football match.
Yeah, 100%. Such a better atmosphere. And, people say, don't they, about prices and stuff, but, the queues were out the door nearly for the half-time. And if we're getting crowds of 15,000, 16,000 and we keep hearing that those commercial deals are beneficial, then it's going to be superb this season for the club if we can keep them type of levels up for the whole season.
Obviously, before we get into the game in more detail, I just want to, pay tribute to, obviously, the tribute that the club put on for George Curtis and, obviously, those fans that have passed away since that Ipswich game. So it was really nice to see that happening. And I'd urge everybody to go and have a look at the Coventry YouTube channel, because the tribute to all the fans who have passed is on there now. And I know, for one, I saw a few familiar faces on there. So it was nice to pay tribute to those. Right, let's look at the game then in a little bit more detail. Andy, kick us off with those match stats, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, they were pretty decent in the end, Dino, after a shaky first half. Possession, we had 63% possession compared to their 37%. We had 12 shots compared to their 10, and 6 were on target, so that's 50% ratio, which is, one of my bugbears with last season is our shot on target ratio was absolutely appalling most of the time. It was in the 20-30%. So,
as I say, it's probably one of the highest we've had, including last year.
It probably, bar the Millwall game when we scored 6 at the end of the season, it probably was, Dino. So, yeah, getting up to the 50% mark, I'm very happy with that. So, yeah, really pleased with that. Passing accuracy was better than theirs. We had 75% compared to their 63%. They had more corners than us. They had 5, but that was probably because of their early dominance, maybe in the first half, I think. I think we stemmed the flow of corners second half, didn't we? And yellow cards, we had 4 compared to their 1. So, yeah, good stats. I'm happy with those, Dean.
Yeah, good opening on the stats front, that's for sure. Let's look at the lineup then, Dave. A few obviously debutants in there, including your mate Si Moore in goal. Obviously Mattson as well, and Waghorn also making their debuts. What was your thoughts on that? Because it was a little bit strange seeing Da Costa in the right wing back role ahead of Dabo.
Yeah, I think that's possibly the only thing that Robin's got wrong with the lineup. I think they set up exactly how probably most of us expected, but that was a bit odd, really. And it's one of those, isn't it? With Rose, he's missed a bit of football. I know. He missed out on the Spain trip as well, I think, didn't he? But for me, if a player's fit enough to be on the bench, they're fit enough to start and then come off. But I know there's a worry then of making an early substitution, and that might be a bit of a gamble. But I just think the balance that Rose gives us, and that's, you know, that team of Rose, Haim and McFadden have been together for a long time now, years and years. And I just think Dabo looked a bit like a fish out of water early on, and Da Costa, he's a bit hit or miss, sadly. And I think that, that was the only thing that he got wrong, really, for me. More miss than hit?
No, I said it was a bit of an understatement.
Football intelligence of a wet fish. Da Costa.
Do you think Robbie's chosen because of his performances last year against Forest?
Maybe, yeah. Good call, Ding. Yeah, probably. But he's just not very bright, is he, on the football pitch? And
it's his decision making, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, intelligence.
He's got some really key attributes. His pace, obviously. He doesn't mind getting stuck in. I just think it's not like he panics. It's just like he kind of just runs out of ideas and feels like he has to make that pass. It's to have that confidence, isn't it? To turn around and come backwards sometimes if you can't go forward.
Yeah.
And a lot of the balls yesterday, when we broke down that right-hand side, you know, a little bit overhit. And it just has a bit of a knock-on effect, I think, with the rest of the team. It's frustrating when you're trying to get going anyway, and you're making those sort of errors. It does frustrate, I think, the side.
Yeah. A lot of people were talking around me saying, is it maybe a translation issue with giving Da Costa his instructions? Because he seemed to be like he was taking Dabo's instructions to sit back in Dabo's position rather than actual Dabo's position at right wing back. He wasn't going forward at all in that first 20 minutes, that was for sure.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, but it's one that I think hopefully will be solved shortly with Clark Salter has been talked about to still come in, isn't he, a centre back, and with Rose getting up to speed as well, that gives us those options for Dabo to then go out wide, which, you know, we saw in the second half how important and key he is in that position for us. So, you know, there's some good news coming, I think, and as much as we all want Da Costa to do well, I think he's just not quite up to the Championship standard, is he, that the rest of his teammates are.
And other than that, really, I think we started pretty brightly in that game. You know, we got plenty of the ball. There was space for, you know, the likes of Sheaf and Hamer to play a bit. But I think we looked a little bit nervous at times, especially in possession. And obviously Ian Mattson was in the game quite early on. Andy, do you think there's a glimpse of potential there with him?
Yeah, he looks good. Very athletic. But like you said, he was a bit nervous on the ball, kept it away quite a bit. But he looks very good going forward. Probably one of the best moves we did was when, you remember the first half when Dabo raked a ball out to him, he got the ball under and then got it in quickly, and I think the keeper gathered it. That was a really good move. I thought, going back to giving the ball away a little bit, I thought both Sheaf and Hamer were poor in the first half. They gave the ball away a lot and put us under quite a lot of pressure, which was needless, to be honest. They looked a bit nervous, but maybe because it was the first game back at the Rico, not the Rico, sorry, CBS Arena.
That's £1. That's £1
sorry,
in the kitty.
In the kitty, there we go. CBS Arena. Don't sound right, though, does it?
No, it doesn't.
But yeah, I think maybe the occasion maybe got to them at the start of the game. But as we've gone to Sheaf and Hamer later, they grew into the game very well.
Absolutely. And another two to look out for was obviously Gyökeres and Waghorn, who seem to have built a partnership in pre-season, but they weren't really in it first half, Dave, were they?
No, I mean, the game did bypass them a little bit, I think, anyway, because we were struggling to actually get a decent foot into it. But, you know, when you look at the stats, I was surprised to see that Waghorn was the, you know, he had the most shots out of anyone in the squad, which was only three, but it was, you know, and only one more than than Jokeres and a few others. But it's crazy to say he came off early and just looked so behind the play most of the times. I'm not sure if he's fully up to fitness or if he's just, you know, maybe he just hasn't got that sort of turn of pace, which I think at times it showed a little bit yesterday. You know, he's a new player, isn't he, in the squad? They've had pre-season, but as the season goes on, a player like of his quality is hopefully going to be a lot more, you know, understanding between him and Jokeres. And I think it will be a good partnership going forward. But they definitely struggled, didn't they, to get into it? Which is a shame, because I think Waggy would have wanted to start, you know, hit the ground running, really.
Do you think that was a lack of service? Sorry, Dino. Do you think that was like a lack of service?
Yeah. There wasn't really.
Because we kept on giving it away, didn't we? Let's be honest. Yeah.
And actually, you know, jumping way forward, when Walker came on, we started to play it into him, and he was holding it up. And you just think, you know, was he doing a better job at positionally than Waghorn, or was it just that we changed the way that we played and went a little bit more direct? So, but it's interesting because, you know, Dean mentioned about a lineup. I thought the bench looked really quite weak. It's quite worried really when I looked at that
as well,
on paper about who could actually make an impact. But, you know, interesting enough, Walker later on did.
You mentioned Tyler Walker. I actually thought I was really impressed with his attitude actually in that second half. I thought he'd done a lot more running in this game and battling than he did the whole of last season.
Yeah, and he won some knockdowns, and that pace of his and Jokeres and that probably did put Forest under quite a lot of pressure at a time that they were feeling it, if that makes sense. They were quite comfortable in the early exchanges, but later on, obviously, it started to come a bit on top for them. And by having Walker and Jokeres with that pace, the press, I think, started to happen.
I know we put us a question today asking people to for some topics on who what to talk about this evening, and one of the topics was our new goalkeeper, Si Moore. I thought he had an outstanding game. I think he looked in control every time a ball came into the box, and I think, Andy, that's probably much needed, isn't it, after what we witnessed at times last season.
Yeah, well, he was massively helped us get the 3 points. Initially his command of the box was fantastic. I think he came for three crosses and caught them all. So that just takes the pressure off your defence straight away. And also that save from Johnson, was it from Johnson? Because Lolly
Brennan Johnson,
Brennan, who was fantastic on the day, by the way. He looked a real prospect. Yeah. You know, he was outstanding for Lincoln last season, wasn't he, on loan? But, you know, taking after his dad, because his dad was a good player as well. But it was a fantastic save, because if that goes in, I don't think we're winning that game.
It's curtains, isn't it?
It's curtains.
Was his dad Michael Johnson, the pace he had?
No.
In that goal?
He had pace, though. I think it was David Johnson who used to play for Forest. But yeah, it was. But no, what a spread by Si Moore. And he can be very pleased with his debut. He had an outstanding game.
Absolutely. It's nice to have someone coming out and you know, grabbing crosses.
Taking the pressure off, Dean.
Yeah, I haven't seen that for a while, have we?
Massive as a goalkeeper. If you can do that, it just relieves all the pressure, and then you can start, you know, working your way back upfield. It's huge.
Absolutely. You mentioned Brennan Johnson. We obviously need to talk about the goal. Great pace from the lad. I mean, Sheaf had just been booked as well, hadn't he? So he couldn't take him out, and he was pretty much a foot race, and he was well in control. Simple pass across the goal, and you know, Lyle Taylor does what he does every time against us and scores. I think that's 7 goals now against us, which is ridiculous.
Annoying,
yeah, he is annoying. He's very annoying, but he knows where the goal is, that's for sure, doesn't he, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. And we were just playing catch up, weren't we? And we were behind the play, and Dabo, like we say, he didn't look comfortable at any time, really, in that right centre back position for me. Positionally, he looked a little bit out of sorts. And I think this showed, you know, although we were playing catch up, I think this showed that and highlighted that, really, that he was just a little bit positionally unaware and we were chasing back. And yeah, a comfortable finish, really. Nothing anyone could do about it once it had got to Lyle Taylor. And yeah, he adds another one in the games against the City. And you know, when will that end? Hopefully soon. But it didn't matter, did it? But of course, you know, it, we have got to try and cut those out, because it's always a, we do give ourselves a bit of a mountain to climb, don't we?
It reminded me of one of those really sweaty FIFA goals. You know, yeah, when you just pass it across the, yeah, the keeper and you never miss.
No. But it was in, it was from our transition, though, wasn't it, Dean? You know, Cal had it upfield. He lost it, ran into bodies, and they just broke on it. So I think Mattison was a little bit further upfield than he should have been. And we've got a real guard against that in future games, because a lot of Championship teams have got pace, haven't they? So that's one thing that we need to learn from, because we don't want to be caught on the break like that again, really.
No, definitely not. And then the change was made at halftime. Obviously, 1-0 down at that point. Da Costa hauled off for Rose, and a little switch for Higham as well to the right of the back three. But crucially, it allowed Dabo to push forward into his natural position. That was imperative, wasn't it, Andy?
It was, yeah, huge change. I'm a big fan of Rosie. I think, and also with him, he, you know, he was in and out last season through injury and whatnot. And but, you know, in our season where we won the league, he was outstanding, wasn't he? He was one of our best players, and there was, you know, talk about him going to Leeds. So he's definitely got potential. There's a player there. And I thought he was really outstanding coming back in. I thought he, I think he's got a point to prove. I think he wants to get back in the team. I think he believes himself. I think he's quite a confident lad in inner confidence as well. And I think he's got a point to prove. And I think this season, I think we're going to see a good season from Rose, which is going to benefit, because we need him, because we're short at the back, aren't we, Dean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think another good thing that with Michael Rose, he brings the ball out from the defence, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a good player. There's no two ways about it. He lacks a little bit of pace, maybe. But yeah, like you say, he's good on the ball. He puts his head where it hurts. He's, you know, he's good in the air. He's a fantastic footballer. And hopefully, now he's fit, we'll get the benefit of that. Because I think he's a Championship player, Dean. And we didn't see that last year, did we?
No, because he was out for way too many periods of the season. He couldn't get a run of form, could he?
Yeah, his form was indifferent, you know, ever since that, you know, he got sent off at Blackburn, didn't he, against Blackburn early doors.
Yeah.
And never really recovered all season, did he? So, no, that's going to be a massive benefit going forward if he can keep his form going. And to get to your point about Dabo, no, you just saw the difference. I don't know what Robbins was thinking of playing Dabo at right centre-back. I think he was talking to Gareth Southgate, playing Kyle Walker then. I thought I just tried to copy him. So, but no, he looks so much more natural down the right, and it just looked, the whole shape of the team looks so much better, didn't it?
I'd like to see Mark Robbins in a waistcoat, see how that works.
I think he could do it, maybe, with his Reebok Classic, with his classics on. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Plus he'd have the bench coat over the top as well.
Of course.
He's had another rumble in the club shop, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He loves it.
He loves it.
He does. He must have spent a fortune in there. It's probably why we can make some more signings, as he said today.
He spent the £25 this club gave him.
No, he didn't. that would have been online. My only little moan. I can't believe that it wasn't been, you know, can't believe people have to now pay for postage to use.
Oh, Dave.
But, that's a little moan from me. No, I'm only joking. But yeah, he definitely does, doesn't he? I think once a month he just goes, they just let him in there, like let him to go wild, yeah, like a kid in a sweet shop for 5 minutes. And he just...
Well, like a supermarket sweep. Just Dale Winton turn up and time just say, starts, go wild.
Go wild in the aisles.
There's not many aisles in that club shop. You can hardly spoon a cat in there, if I'm honest.
But isn't it magnificent that we've got one?
Yes, that's a positive.
But notice, if you see where they're queuing up for the tickets yesterday, it goes right into where the away fans are.
Oh, God. That's not good.
So it's a little bit too close to the away fans, especially like Forest, fair play to them, bringing, what, 4,500, was it? Mm. Something like that. They've made a little bit of noise at times. I think that, you know, that's probably got some question marks over the position of the shot, but that's not for us to decide. Let's go back into the game. Another brilliant, obviously, part of the game was seeing Jody Jones come back and make his long-awaited return from injury. That was brilliant to see. Probably wasn't expecting to go into the left wing-back position, though, was he, Dave?
No. Did we go to four at the back at that point, though, and he was like a sort of floating left winger? Or because he didn't seem to be doing much tracking back. But I suppose at that point, we had a lot of the game and we were in, you know, we were in Forrest's half quite a lot. But I'm not sure if we changed to a four at the back and let him have a bit of a free role, but great, isn't it? Isn't it fantastic? And, you know, once he gets that confidence back, I think it's going to take a bit of time, but because you were sort of screaming at him to take on players yesterday, and perhaps he just didn't quite have that, you know, in his locker. But we know he has, and we know with minutes on the pitch that he's going to be a great asset. And there was talk of people saying that, you know, maybe he should go out on loan. But I think Robbins has answered that question pretty firmly by, you know, bringing him on. And he was, you know, it looks like he's going to be an influential part of the squad this season.
Be nice to see him kick on, wouldn't it, Andy, this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's a boy that's got everything. He's got pace, can beat a man, can score a worldie. You know, he's got everything, hasn't he? And like Dave said, he just needs a run of games just to get his confidence back. And it will take time. But again, he's a championship player waiting for us. And again, someone that we didn't have last season, Dean.
Absolutely. I think those changes really turned the tide of the game as well, didn't it? Along with that incredible rendition of Twist and Shout, which I think went on for about 20 minutes.
Well, it's the reason our presenter isn't here this evening, isn't he? He's lost his voice, so he can't join because he was probably, you know, singing that for 14 minutes non-stop. So
I saw a picture of him sticking his fingers up to a couple of 14-year-old chavs from Forest as well, which is nice to see.
Getting on to that. We seemed to push on, didn't we, from that moment. It's like seemed to be like the crowd just seemed to take us to the equaliser, didn't it, with that rendition of Twist and Shout, which was brilliant to see. It's been sadly missed from all football grounds, and especially obviously our ground as well. And it just seemed to push us on. And it was just great when we equalised, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Before that, we saw Sheaf hit the bar
well.
Lovely 1-2 with O'Hare, wasn't it? But he was unlucky. He was really unlucky.
Talking of Sheaf, and I'm going to have to pay you a compliment, Dean, because you said on last week's pod that he's better going forward. And I totally agree, because him going forward yesterday in the second half was just different level.
Yeah.
You know, the first of it when he pinged with the outside of his boot, that was just
not
a
sure he's really a defensive midfielder.
No, I don't.
He's definitely not.
And the way he just, like, outside the boot when he set that chance up, not the one that hit the bar before that, and then these link up play with Cal O'Hare for the one he smacked the bar.
Yeah.
He looks better, in my opinion, going forward.
Yeah, with the game
holding
in front of
him. Yeah, absolutely.
Chasing the game, he seems. And
yeah.
I was going to come on to this, but I think, you know, it's a great time to discuss it, because I think with him and Hamer, you've got engines there, which is really, really good, and it's going to be really, really key. But I think they need to get that understanding of who goes and who sits. And a big problem you've got there at the moment is Hamer often collects the ball from deep, so Sheaf is always in front of him. But as we know, Hamer definitely isn't going to be sitting in, and you know, once he's passed the ball, he's going to be playing the ball, and as soon as he's played it, he'll be looking for the return or getting himself towards the box. So I think once they get that little bit, you know, once they get that sorted out, because there's definitely an engine there, and I definitely think, you know, Sheaf, you know, understand, you know, defensively, he obviously understands, and I can't remember the stats, but he had some, you know, he was pretty high up on interceptions yesterday, so he's obviously doing bits like that correctly. But I do agree with you that he's much better with the game happening in front of him and attacking than he perhaps is defensively.
Next. It's had a two halves for him, wasn't it, Dave? I thought he was poor first half, but I thought second half he was brilliant.
Yeah, and you know, he's always guilty of giving away a little silly foul, which then sets him up to have a bit of a tough game defensively.
He's on a yellow, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone do that in the team?
Yeah, McFadden especially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean,
get it out early so he can just worry for 90 minutes.
He's a bit of a scapegoat, isn't he? At times, that really annoys me, because we've got to back our team, back our players.
Yeah,
I think go on.
No, I say, look, he is a really, really, you know, clever footballer, intelligent footballer, and those little give and goes, you see that he's always on the move, and I just think it's incredible, really. And I haven't got stats for unforced errors, but you know, we sit here and we say Da Costa didn't have a great game. Yeah, we sit here and say Hamer lost the ball a couple of times, but we don't really talk about the times that perhaps, you know, Waghorn will you know, unforced error or give the ball away. But Sheaf, you know, I had, you know, a couple of lads behind me yesterday and saying, oh, you know, I'd rather Doyler back and stuff like that. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
It was nice to hear those chants behind you again, wasn't it? All those silly comments. I've missed that.
Yeah. It was just 90 minutes of Sheaf, man. What's good? You know, and it's like, he's just hit the bar. You know what I mean?
He's nearly bent it top bins.
And look, he's a really intelligent footballer. We said it and we say it all the season, you don't grow up playing for Arsenal and not learn a thing or two from Arsene Wenger and the coaching staff there. And look, I think he'll turn into a really, really, really good player. I agree with you both about attacking. I think he's much more attacking minded, which doesn't mean he doesn't make a tackle. But I think that him and Hamer, until Kelly gets back in, that's something that's got to be resolved quite quickly. And that will come from playing together. But, you know, you're at the risk of a few times yesterday of that getting away from us, and some other teams would punish you. You know, the teams at the top half of the table are going to punish you for that. And they've got to quickly get that understanding, because they, like I say, definitely got an engine there, but there's got to be that understanding. And Hamer is a bit of a, you know, he'd have a bit of a free role really. And Sheaf's just probably got to sit tight a bit more.
Yeah, definitely more to come from Ben Sheaf this season. Let's move on to the goals. Obviously the first goal, just unbelievable from O'Hare, wasn't it, to set up that chance. He sent both those defenders into block two, albeit he made a little bit of a poor pass and a poor decision in the box, but eventually fell to Big Vic and to fire at home, and it sent the crowd into ruptures, Andy.
It did. Can we just talk about Vic's movement for the goal, how he just pulled off? Now, that was just brilliant from Vic. I thought his movement for that, because normally, you know, you'd think you'd go for the 6-yard box, wouldn't you? Because you think O'Hare, after doing that brilliant skill,
you'd probably drill it in.
You'd probably, but he was so intelligent. It was such intelligent strike play. He just held back, and that helped him get in the space he needed for the ball, where it kindly fell to him. It was a bit lucky and a bit fortuitous, but his movement for that goal was absolutely outstanding. If no one's seen it, if you look at the replay on Sky, his movement for the goal was above championship level. It was brilliant. And that what made him be in that position. Brilliantly took home, great finish into the roof of the net. And wasn't it just great to see the Sky Blue Army go crackers in the corner? It was fantastic, wasn't it?
I think I've watched the videos about 20 times today. Just the sound and stuff is just unbelievable, isn't it?
A few retweets on the page, Dino.
Yeah,
just a few.
You love to see it.
You
did say about it was lucky, but guess who it ricocheted off?
Ben Sheaf
in the box.
There you go. Yeah, I don't miss a trick thing. Yeah.
You love to see it.
Yeah.
And also, you say it was lucky. I think he actually twisted his foot so it would go back into the middle of the box.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe.
I'll have another look. And that will show his intelligence. But yeah, from that point, I mean, there was only one team in it. The noise and the atmosphere was electric. 96 minute free kick, brilliant save, wasn't it, for the initial header, and obviously after a bit of pinball it fell to Fads and his shot was too hot to handle, and that was the 3 points secure, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're right, initial save was fantastic, and I think everyone would have took a draw, let's go home, you know. Get the balls back in the bag and over the shoulder and off we go, take a point and go again another day. But the momentum, wasn't it, and the crowd really willed them on, and you know, we talk about the 12th man, but that was evident there, and I think that's what it is. You know, you get that atmosphere, and Forrest were panicking in the box, and it fell to Fads, and it was, you know, a superb finish. He kept it down, and then just, you know, after that the scenes were just biblical, weren't they? Incredible. And it's something that the Sky Blue Army deserve. It's something the players deserve for playing for such a long time without fans. And you know, what a really, really way to cap off a really great day, and you know, an important day in Coventry's history, at returning back at the Rico now with a you know, a long period there and a long contract there to really now step on and kick on and hopefully secure, you know, a championship football for a long time and many years to come.
Those were some special scenes, wasn't it, at the end of the game? Obviously not just at the final whistle, but as you're walking back to cars and the trains or whatever, it was just a real buzz around, wasn't it? It was brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. It's just so nice to see. And you know, we said about the match day, but the match day experience is so much better now. And you've got places to go before. You've got that natural progression from perhaps the tavern or something up by the train station. You've got that then down to the Dillons by the ground in Foleshill. So it's a really, really great. And it was so good to see so many fans. And hopefully, you know, it couldn't have gone much better. And hopefully they'll be returning, because we know it's not cheap football, especially for the family. But at the same time, when it gives you moments like that, there's nowhere else I think that many would like to be.
And nothing better.
That's hopefully what we'll see throughout the season.
Absolutely. A brilliant start to the season for the Sky Blues, obviously running out eventual 2-1 winners in the end. Let's go through the man of the matches. I'm not sure how Sky gave it to one of the Forest players, but you know, that's Sky for you. Dave, do you want to kick us off with your man of the match?
Yeah, I will. And I'll just jump in with a couple of the followers as well, because we always put this out after the games, and I sort of urge everyone to get involved and put your point across so we can share it. But Stuart Elson said it's hard not to pick Callow Hare, but a big shout out also to Simon Moore, who looked like he bosses the area really well. At Cov Sid said, before he scored, I would have still said McFadzean was fairly in line with him second half. He was outstanding, and then to cap his display, he only went and scored the winner. And finally, Chris Meadows, he said, it was a great team performance, but Callow Hare proved today why he's too good for us. Don't tell him that, though. We want to keep him. Fads was a rock at the back and then popped up to win it for us as well. So an honourable mention for him, and amazing to see Jody Jones back. But for me, I'm going to go with the same as Cov Sid. Fads for me was incredible. I know Andy's probably got it waiting, and he loves a who scored rating, so I'll probably let him deliver that. I'll let him deliver that. But so 8.7 on that well off the Richter scale on that one. And but it really important was the six clearances. You know, he made six clearances a game and a match winning goal. Who can argue really, apart from Sky Sports, of McFadzean as man of the match? So Fads for me.
Andy?
Callow Hare for me, Dean. I think his moments of brilliance, unrivaled talent, won us the game. You know, his nutmeg on Colbeck was just filthy and lovely to see. And that was set up the goal, that bit of magic that got us the goal for Big Vic. And the way he won the free kick for the winner was again just quality. And I think those couple of moments of absolute above championship level quality won us the game, Dean.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Right, let's look ahead to Wednesday night. It's the first round of the Carabao Cup against...
We have to.
No. Yeah. Have you ever drank Carabao, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have.
Up it's for dreadful. Days.
Yeah, it's not a great drink, I must admit. It's a lot of sugar in there, a lot of sugar. But obviously, we open our account in the cup against Northampton on Wednesday evening. They open their account on Saturday with a 1-0 victory against Port Vale. League Two, Northampton, I should add. Obviously, it's lower league opposition in this first round, but we should expect to comfortably beat them. But that's not how it often works in these games, does it, Andy?
No, because obviously we're going to make quite a lot of changes, I would have thought. Gives obviously different people different chances, and when that happens, especially when you play lower league, because they probably won't make as many changes, will they, do? Because they'll probably look at this as a big scalp. They obviously won at the weekend. They beat Port Vale 1-0, so they'll be buoyed by that. And because we're going to make a few changes, I can see an interesting game ahead. Hopefully we can get through and win the game. But no, it never seems to go that way, especially with Cov City in this cup. So we'll have to see, Dean.
I mean, Andy alluded to it there, Dave. It's probably an opportunity to blood some youth into the team and get some more match minutes into those on the periphery of the squad.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important to get some time into those fringe players. You know, players like Allen, Shipley, Jones even, I think, Rosie.
If he
needs minutes and Drysdale, of course. And it's important because it's not the biggest of squads. And I think you know, with what we saw last season with so many injuries, that everyone's got to be on the boil, ready to go as soon as they can. So, but again, yeah, I'd love to see some of the other youngsters get, you know, Papaga, you know, Tavares, some of those players as well. Mm-hmm. I'd see them get some minutes, and probably Wilson, you know, get some minutes into him between the sticks as well.
He's got to pay our sponsorship somehow, hasn't he, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So with the likes of Cal O'Hare, would you give him a rest in this match ahead of the weekend?
Yeah, I wouldn't even take him. I'd let him sit at home and play the PlayStation.
Okay, fair enough. predictions then. Let's go with you first, Dave.
Yeah, I must say other consoles are available. I think we should be winning this, especially at home. And I'd like to see a comfortable 2-0 win.
And are you the same thinking?
Yeah, I think it'd be a bit. I think we'll just edge it 1-0, Dino. I think it'll be quite tight, but I think we'll win it. Maybe a bit of pace from Papaga. It'd be nice to see him play.
Absolutely. Now I've got to give a mention to the Cov Tweet League as well, and an honourable mention for me. Got 4 points round one.
Oh, nice. Well done,
so
Dino.
So did the Sky Blues Extra. Was it?
Good.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't even know.
Was, courtesy of Mr. Ward. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Great. A great initiative, and the lads put a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Fair play to Martin for that. He does a good job.
And the guy who set up the spreadsheet as well. That's an unbelievable task.
Yeah.
In getting that all automated and stuff. Just an unbelievable piece of work. So fair play.
We'll
to
have
him.
To get him involved for your accounts, Dean. You know, that with all your monies and that, and Wardy's as well. Get him sorting it out.
Yeah, I think Wardy's got more than enough to sort out for him. So let's put a prediction then in for the Sky Blues Extra. What are we thinking? It's a home win, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll let Andy do the honours.
Go on, Andy. Yeah. Should we go with your 1-0?
Yeah, let's go for that.
So it's the Sky Blues Extra 1-0 for the Tweet League.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
And after what will hopefully be a positive result against Northampton in the week, we're back in league action on Saturday. It's another early season trip up to Oakwell to play Barnsley. We had two good results against what was high-flying Barnsley last year, and we'll be hoping for more of the same, Andy, won't we?
Yeah, we will be. It's going to be a difficult game. Always is Oakwell. Decent old-fashioned ground to go to, though, isn't it? But, yeah, we got a draw 0-0. It was that awful 0-0 that actually nothing happened in that game. It was early on in the season, Drew, if you remember right. And
I think it was the second game of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it was 0-0. And,
it's happened again.
Completely nothing happened. And it was just boring. But with them, when they came down here, we beat them, obviously. Was it 2-0, wasn't it, Dean?
2-0, 2-0, yeah.
2-0, so yeah. And they've lost, obviously, their skipper to West Brom, Mowat. That's a big loss for them, because obviously they were very keen keeping him. So that's going to be a big loss. And I think they drew opening day, didn't they, Dean? Is that right?
Did, yeah. And another big loss is that Daryl Dyke, who they had on loan, who was scoring all the goals last year.
So yeah, it's an opportunity for us to really build on that fantastic win on Sunday. So hopefully we can go there with full of confidence. Maybe have Bright back on the bench, because I thought, we said earlier, our bench did look a little bit weak. If we get him back involved somewhere on the bench and try and get him on for a few minutes, that might be beneficial for us as well. So looking forward to this one, Dean, and hopefully we can come back with 3 points.
And let's not forget Barnsley operating under new management as well. Marcus Schopp is in his first season in charge at Barnsley. So a little bit of the unexpected with them, I'm sure. But as for us, Dave, how do you expect us to approach this one? The lads should be on a high from Saturday.
Yeah, of course. Like Andy said, Barnsley's never an easy place to go. And we were probably quite fortunate that we cancelled each other out earlier on the season. I think at the end of the season, that looked a really good draw, didn't it, with how Barnsley... I'm not sure they're going to be as good as they were last season, but they obviously picked up a decent result weekend. Cardiff, I think it was, wasn't it? 1-0. 1-1, sorry. So, you know, we expect Cardiff to, I think a lot of people expect them to be half decent this season. So, you know, they've got off to a relatively good start. But I think Robbins will line up very similar to how he did when once Rose came on. I would expect that to probably be the way he'd start. And yeah, there's nothing to fear, is it? It's a nice trip up for the Sky Blue Army as well. A nice, you know, northern away day early on in the season, and I'm sure they'll be in fine voice and they'll be encouraging the lads to go and try and get all 3 points. But yeah, really looking forward to this one. It's just, yeah, so good to be talking waffle on a train again, isn't it, for 2 hours while you hurtle up north to hopefully do a smash and grab job.
With your bottle of Capri Sun.
That bottle of Capri Sun, yeah, and the Happy Shopper crisps that we probably still haven't eaten because Tom brought so many on the way back this week. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. And I think we can get something out of it.
Okay, then. And with all that in mind, what are you going for?
I'm going to go for, I think we can get a draw, and I think it's going to be 1-1.
Andy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dave on this. I think it's going to be a draw, but I don't think it's going to be... I think it's going to be goalless, 0-0. But I do think it'll be probably a little bit more eventful than last season. And I'll take that, a clean sheet away from home, especially after our away form last season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I can't see either team scoring, to be honest. I think they'll just cancel each other out.
Yeah, I
so
agree.
With 2-0, maybe that should be our prediction for the Tweet League.
I think so. Outnumbered, game. So 2-1, 0-0 for the Tweet League. So we'll make sure we get those two results sent over to the chaps this evening.
Absolutely right, lads. Thanks very much for your input this evening. That's the first pod of the season in the bag. As always, a big thank you to our sponsor Shortland Horn for their continued support. And don't forget to get your predictions in for the COV Tweet League this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. And in the meantime, if you want to get involved with the conversation, check out our social channels and use the hashtag SkyBluesExtra.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.